Bringing you real voices, real issues, and real solutions. You are listening to The Smart Hour online. Your global connection to uncensored, thought-provoking interviews and great conversation about what faces our world today. This is not mainstream media. This is The Smart Hour. Here you go. Your host, Tanisha Smart.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smart Hour. I am your girl, Tanisha Smart. Tonight we are talking about bullying and anti-bullying. My guest is absolutely amazing. So I can't wait to dig in, talk to her, get in her head, see what's on her heart, and see what we need to do about bullying. So we're going to take a quick song break and we'll come back and dive right into our discussion.
Thank you for allowing me to see myself the way you see me. Thank you.
Happened is now.
It's all gone.
Father did. Hallelujah.
Smart Hour, brought to you by Fit, Focused, and Curvy, knowledge for the complete woman, an environment for women to share and grow, offering tips and testimonials on fashion, parenting, cleaning, and much more. Be sure to friend us on Facebook at Fit, Focused, Curvy, follow us on Instagram at Fit, Focused, Curvy, and check out our website at fitfocusedcurvy.com.
Thank you so much for staying tuned to the Smart Hour. That was a selection by Kirk Franklin called Imagine Me. I absolutely love that song because he speaks a lot about his insecurities. Well, you heard the song. And I think it's so fitting for our show. So I'll dive right into introducing our awesome guest. Often bullied about her appearance and personality, Christian from Young wanted to understand why. So instead of talking with her fists, she spoke with her words, using this as a better way to handle confrontation. And doing so, and in doing this, she realized that the people bullying her were either going through something or were ashamed of their own imperfections and feared people bullying them. This summer, Christian had the opportunity to work and live amongst homeless veterans, men, women, and children, getting to know them on a different level and showing that you cannot judge a book by its cover. She has had interviews and the opportunity to speak at On My Grind magazine, Rolling Out magazine, Funky J Talk Show, Art of Heart ATL TV, Get Your Sassy Back Show, 108 Praise Radio. This girl is busy. She's been at not just any church event, the EPYC, we're going to have to find out what that is, Youth Ministry Event, the Youth Prison Prevention, Pain to Purpose Event, Teen Reach, the Pretty Girl Problems Retreat, Hype for Education Conference, Boys and Girls Club, Back to School Event, I Am Movement, and she's even the co-author of a book, Past the Mustard Seed. So as you can see, our guest is phenomenal, and she has something to say. So let me go ahead and bring Christian on. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Hello.
Okay, and we also have Christian. Thank you, Christian, for coming on. And we have your lovely
mom.
Let me bring her on, too. Can you hear
Hi.
Me, lady?
Can hear you. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on to the show and really just talking about this topic. I really have a passion for anti-bullying and bully prevention, and I'm so honored that you would take time out of your schedule to talk about your experience with bullying and what you're doing to actually prevent it. So we're going to dive right in. I won't keep you all too long, but I really want to know about your passion when it comes to this. I'll say for me, as Miss Plus America, when I was Miss Plus America 2015, and that was a part of my platform dealing with bullying prevention. And primarily, well, it was a passion for me because I have two children, and both of them have actually experienced bullying. So we're going to dive in some, and we're going to talk about some of the things that I experienced as a parent, as well as just getting to some real topics. So when it comes to Christian, let's just dive right in. We see just here from your bio that you were bullied from the bio. We see you were bullied for two different things, your appearance and your personality. I want to dig deeper into each of these individually because so many people have experienced them. You know, appearance can be your complexion, your hair, your clothes, your height, your features, anything. So if you would please go ahead and talk to our guests about your appearance that you were bullied in or what did people pick on you about?
When I was younger, I had really thick. Well, my hair's still thick, but I used to wear it out all the time, and, you know, my mom used to put it in, like, puff balls and stuff, and people would always make fun of me and, like, call me names and, like, say, oh, your hair is nappy and stuff like that. And then I had a I have a unibrow. So of course that already brought most attention to me. And that was like really you know, I thought it made me stood out, but it just made other people make fun of me. And, you know, at one point I was really, really young, and I shaved my eyebrows off because like, you know, maybe this will make, you know, people like me. Everybody's always talking about me because I have a unibrow, and my friend tried to help me, like, you know, maybe we can fix it for you and stuff. And I ended up shaving it off because I felt ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, so. And I can definitely, I can understand that. I can understand your remedy in the mind of a child, like, okay, if this is something I'm being picked on about, I'm going to go ahead and deal with this. And I have been picked on about certain things, too. I'm 6 feet tall, so I've been called Big Bird, you know, in school. But when it comes to your hair and it comes to you shaving off your brows, Mom, I want to talk to you. And what is your name? So I don't have to call you Mom throughout the whole show. Can you tell?
No, it's not, but my name is Michelle.
Michelle. Okay, Michelle. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for being on, because I want to get some input from you, too. As parents, we have to deal with the bullying and deal with the effects that, you know, these things have on our children. How did you deal with, you know, her being teased about her hair? Did you know anything about it? Did you just look up one day and her brows were gone? Did you know anything about this particular scenario?
I mean, in the beginning, I didn't know that she was going through insecurities. I just saw it as playing around with her friend, that this is what they were doing. And the sad part about the whole thing, for a long time, I did not know what Christian was dealing with until she took part in the book, Past the Mustard Seed. And being a parent that is very involved and was at, you know, she was in the band at high school. So I was at the games and tried to be there. I was very sad that it seemed like I still missed something.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally get that. So you're saying that you didn't find out that she even went through these things until you saw that she co-authored the book, and that's when you found out, when her story basically came out to you as well?
Right. I mean, there was some things that, you know, you figure that was like self-esteem, so you try to encourage to build up the self-esteem, but for the length of time that she was going through stuff, I did not know. And like I said, I felt like I was present there, so I was like, how did I miss it?
I appreciate your transparency with that. I actually had a similar situation with my son. Just for our listeners that don't know, you know, my son at the time that I moved to the state of Georgia was 16, and my ex and I had just gone through a divorce. So moving here, he was really excited and everything, but he was just going to high school, you know, just getting started in high school. And I found out, you know, I would see some differences in his behaviors, but I didn't know that he was being bullied until I actually found a letter. And in the letter, it's, you know, he basically said he wanted to end his life because of what was going on. And I began to, you know, go back and see some of the things, because he would sit in his closet, just sit in his closet in his room in the dark. And so, you know, with me going through, and this is, of course, at the moment you don't want to make it about yourself, but life is just life, and it happens to everybody. So going through, you know, the divorce and trying to get my own emotions intact, because as a parent, you know, we have to put up this facade, even if things aren't right, we have to make it seem like it's right. And so you can get lost in what's going on with you and the things that your children are going through. There's a totally separate attack on your children, and you don't even notice it. So I could say for me, I was in the shoes of you. I thought, you know, I was being the best mom that I could be, especially given the circumstances. But to actually get that letter, and then to later find out, you know, that he would just stand in the mirror. You know, I've heard him stand in the mirror and call himself ugly, you know, and talk about his nose, because that's what the kids were doing at school. Now, I thank God that now he has made a complete turnaround. But as parents, and just listening to you, I really want our listeners to know that as parents, first of all, if you haven't grasped these things or if you find out later that your child did go through something like this as far as bullying, to forgive yourself, because that's something I had to do. I had to forgive myself. And then to really just begin to, for me, I had to learn to begin to pay attention to what was going on. And I think I got better at that when it comes to my daughter, in which I'll share some things about that later. So thank you, Christian, for sharing that, your experience with the hair. I actually, another example, my daughter was in first grade. She was the only black kid in her class, and so she would come home crying every day saying that they talked about her hair, you know. And so I can relate in that aspect, just looking through the eyes of my daughter to see how you must have felt with them talking about, you know, your puffs and things like that. But now when you're older, you get to embrace that part of you and realizing that that thing that makes you unique is what makes you stand out, and you can really capitalize that, you know, and that's what I'm teaching my children. So I think that's amazing, and thanks for sharing that story. So tell me, what about your personality? Because you mentioned that you were also bullied when it came to your personality. So what did they say about that?
I mean, when I was younger, I was more open. I feel like now I'm a little bit more to myself, but I was more open. Give me 1 second.
Okay.
Yeah, I was more open, and my nickname in classes was Busybody. So I was in everybody's business. I knew, like, I just knew everything, you know. I would try to talk to everybody and try to be friends with everybody, but that kind of got me into situations because not everybody was like that. Not everybody liked, you know, somebody that was so open to be friends and to be, you know, just someone that wanted to have fun and just wanted to be open, and not a lot of people took that the right way.
So,
but I was
okay.
A lot of to piggyback on some of what Christian is saying, like, even though the bullying started young, it continued on to high school to a certain degree. It took a lot of the toll of the decisions that she would make to fit in with boys and girls. So even though we're talking about from when she was young, this continued for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that I know.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
And, but I feel like as I started to get older, it was kind of more of instead of just people like saying names and stuff, it became more like mental and emotional for me, because it was like I was trying so hard. Even now, you know, I still kind of go through these things. I try so hard to fit in, like, with people and, you know, people that are supposed to be my friends. And, you know, I feel like sometimes I go an extra yard, and then, you know, just people are not really open to receiving that. Or sometimes it's like it comes off as like, you know, they don't want me around, or, you know. And it became more emotional for me. And I would say, like, I kind of started even bullying myself.
Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. Break down what you mean by bullying yourself, just for our listeners.
Because then I would feel like, you know, maybe I started doing things out of my character. I started feeling like, all right, so maybe if I start acting this way with these group of people, then I'll be accepted. And, you know, maybe I, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, I started smoking. And I was like, maybe if I do this, you know, I will be more cool. Or maybe if I start hanging out all the time and stuff like that. And I started to bully my self-image. I started to do stuff that wasn't even in my character, because I felt like I had to fit in with people that, you know, obviously they're showing signs. They're not verbally saying it, but they're showing signs that, you know, they don't want me around.
Yeah.
So that
you're
was,
saying that.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say. So it was. It's still a little tough for me, you know. And sometimes I would sit and think like, maybe I'm not so pretty, or, you know, I was just kind of giving myself self-hate, you know, and it still takes a toll on me to today.
Okay. I got you, and I can, and thanks for sharing that and being so transparent. I can definitely relate to that as well. I talk a lot about my children and the bullying they went through, but maybe some of the passion comes from what I had to deal with myself. The self-bullying is right. You just drove right down my street, girl, because that was me all the way up until I was grown, and I actually had to speak to some women. Actually, it was about a year ago, last year. I had to speak to some women on self-esteem, and that was one of the things that I talked about all my life. You know, I tried different things because I hated my height, and I hated my hips. I hated my complexion. I hated my personality. I hated everything about me. I can remember being young and growing up, and I can remember my mom used to call me this term, narrow ASS, you know, and this show is very real. We're very, you know, blunt, so you know, I'm not going to just cuss, but I don't really, like, shield a lot of things because I think society is too fake. So when it comes to the Smart Hour, we come here, we talk, and we're real. But that's something my mom used to call me, and so I know that she loved me, but perhaps she didn't understand the impact that her words made on me. And so coming up, you know, being 6 or 7 years old and hearing that, you know, and growing up and stuff, I began to hate my self-image and being, you know, the outcast of my sisters. I had two sisters, one older, one younger, so I'm in the middle. I was the outcast of them, and, you know, being at school, all of this, I would hang with the cool kids, but I was the least of the group. So, you know, it's like I couldn't wear the name brand this or that or whatever it was, you know. I was just always at the bottom. And like I said, it wasn't until I was grown and married with children, and I can remember sitting in a movie theater and I was watching one of the trailers, and the trailer said, "You've been trying all your life to fit in when you were created to stand out." And all I could do was cry in that moment because I knew that God was speaking to me, and because he knew my secret. And all my life I had tried. I did the smoking. I had the sex. You know, my peers were having sex, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to have sex too so I can fit in. You know, anything that they were doing, I wanted to do so that I could be accepted. And I had to understand and learn that if I didn't realize who I was, now I understand it. Now that I'm grown and I have a relationship with God, I understand. Saying that if you don't know who you are, there's always someone willing to tell you who you are or who they think you should be. And if you don't measure up to what they think, then you will begin to self-bully in your terms or self-hate. And so I just to put this or make it brief, I sat in that movie theater, I cried, and God had to show me, you're still broken in a lot of areas. Yes, you're saved, but I love you, and because I'm continuing to work on you, this is something that we need to deal with. So fast forward years later, after going through the divorce, my heart being crushed, I would sit in parking lots and pray. And so I would sit like at a Target parking lot or a Joy and Fabric parking lot and just sit out and pray. And one night, you know, by way of the Spirit, I could hear God speaking to me. He's like, why do you want men to open the door for you? Because this is the season, you know, I'm back in the dating scene. So I'm like, God, you know, they better come correct because I already been through this. I'm not doing it. So I was sitting in the parking lot, and the Lord was like, why do you want men to open the door for you? And I'm like, because I'm a lady. You know, he better open the door for me. Like, what are you talking about, God? No, he's like, no, that's not the reason why. Why? What are you doing in this moment? And I said, well, I'm sitting here, and I'm praying, and I'm seeking you for strategy. And he said, this right here, who you are in this moment, is why you should expect men to open the door for you. It has nothing to do with your hips. It has nothing to do with your height. It has nothing to do with you being Miss Plus America. It is who you are when nobody is looking. And so what I'm saying that to you, Christian, to say that as you go through life, of course, sometimes, well, first off, with people not wanting you around, people can't don't want you around because they can't give out what they don't have. Sometimes when we're so full of love and we're so full of caring for people and ideas and whatever, if people don't have that to give out, then they don't know how to embrace or receive it or to reciprocate it. So when it comes to like that parking lot conversation I had with the Lord, it was, although it was about relationships with men in that moment, or even just about my self-esteem and my self-worth, I just want to say to you and implore you that your worth and acceptance and all that really does, it may sound like a cliche, but it really does come from within. And it comes from, you know, just knowing, okay, God, my hair you gave me, my complexion you gave me, my personality you gave me. And once I stop trying to fit in places or be accepted in places that I'm not even supposed to be in, and really allow you to elevate me, because that's exactly what it is. And when I allow you to elevate me, then I'll be okay, and I'll be comfortable with walking alone when I have to do that. Am I making sense when I'm saying this to you?
Yeah, you're making a lot of sense.
Okay, so I just want to say, I'm sorry, go ahead. And I think we have a bit of a lag, so I don't want you guys to feel like I'm over you at all. It's just a bit of a lag.
Oh, no.
So were you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Michelle, were you
saying
something?
I don't see where you're coming from.
No, I was saying, no, you're making a lot of sense. And, you know, being a parent, you try to show your child, you know, the confidence in everything. And even Christian, you know, has accomplished so much. I do understand it, at the end of the day, the world that we live in. So, you know, just when you think that you're up, you know, someone that's there still trying to knock you down. And, you know, Christian has done so much, and I am so proud of her as a parent. But then at the same time, it's kind of like, sometimes I'm like, how, sometimes, you know, you need to see what I see. Because there's so much, you know, she speaks to so many different engagements, and so much of these, especially the younger girls that look up to her and the things that she said, because she's so honest and straightforward with everything that has that she has gone through. And even continued to go through. I mean, she graduated from high school at 16, and people downed her for that. Thought, made her feel like, oh, you thought you were smarter than us. You think you're better than us. So even her accomplishments got judged. And you know, as a parent, as a single parent, you struggle with, what else do I do? You know, I try to be hard on her to see, make toughen her up. Try to be soft so she can, you know, to lift her up. And it's kind of like, sometimes I got to have that conversation with God and say, what do I need to do? But at the same time, when she just did the Steve Harvey Foundation, Girls Who Rule the World, and she inspired so many girls over there, just letting them open up, talk about their stuff. You know, Christian has done a lot, and she has a lot more to do. And, you know, I just say I'm happy for the people that do support her as she continue at 18, third year in college.
Absolutely.
And, you know, still trying to figure life out that a lot of people grown are still trying to do.
Yes, indeed. That is amazing, Christian. So let me just ask you, you know, while we're talking about the bullying and talking about even still being in that self-bullying mode, do you see yourself, like, personally, do you see yourself as a leader, or do you see yourself as just this person that's, you know, has this zeal for what you've gone through, and this zeal or this passion to help other people? Like, how do you see yourself?
I mean, honestly, I wouldn't say, like, I see myself as a leader, because I still make, you know, some of the same mistakes sometimes. Sometimes I still fall backwards. However, it's just like I guess you could say my passion for people in general. I always tell my friends, you know, sometimes it takes me a minute to be open, but, you know, I will try to answer your question or try to express what I'm going through as much as I can to help somebody else what they're going through. Like my mom mentioned, I went to the Steve Harvey Girls Who Rule the World retreat, and just some of the girls that were there, I was a junior counselor, some of the girls that were there and just some of the stuff that they were going through, and to see someone like me who's a junior counselor going through the same things, to see that they started to feel okay with themselves and started to feel like, okay, well, maybe I'm not alone. Maybe, you know, it's okay. I made this mistake and I have to learn. I told them while I was there, never call anything a mistake, calling it experience. You experience this. Don't call it a mistake, because you can learn from it. So, you know, I just feel like I kind of have, I guess you would say, more of a feel for people and just helping and sharing my story.
Okay. Okay. That's powerful. Just what you shared is powerful. And I would say that you're definitely a leader. And when we think about leaders, first off, if everybody could be a leader, there wouldn't be any followers. And in regardless of just the fact that you are humble enough to say, you know, I'm still working some things out. I have a passion, you know, so I don't really look at myself as a leader. Girl, I have dealt with that for years, still wrestling with it. Like, God, okay, am I really like, like I really just want to do right, help people, that's it. But sometimes your experiences and your willingness to be humble and your willingness to be transparent will push you to the forefront of being a leader, depending on your arena. Because we, like I said, we live in a society that is so fake. But at the end of the day, when people are done with their makeup, their Facebook followers and Instagram followers or friends or whatever, at the end of the day, you got to always come back to you. And people will relate to real. When we are real, people can relate to that, and that realness comes through the transparency. So them being able to open up through you sharing your story makes you a leader, because not everybody's willing to do that. Not everybody's willing to be transparent. And I ask that question because I think once we embrace who we truly are, like, okay, if God has given this identity, you know, Tanisha, you know, you're a black girl, and not saying black, I know melanin is the term that's in now. You're a black girl. If I realize that I'm a brown girl or that I'm a woman of color, then I can embrace that. Okay, this is who I am. So if I'm in a room with someone that's another complexion, or if I'm in some situation, if it's a lipstick that I'm wearing that's a loud color and it doesn't work, then I have to embrace the fact, okay, I'm a brown girl, let me change and get another color. Or I'm a brown girl, right, let me go and wear this or do that. The more I embrace who I am, then I can understand where I fit in these different surroundings. So the more you embrace the fact that you are a leader, even if you don't see yourself as one, the fact that you're willing to be humble and be transparent, again, pushes you to that forefront. The more you embrace that, then it will start to make sense why you can be so optimistic and people around you can be so down. And that goes back to the movie trailer with me, you know, thinking I should be able to fit in everywhere. God is like, no, you've been trying to fit in everywhere, but you were created to stand out. You were created to not fit. You can't lead it and be it at the same time. So if you're going to be a leader, and you are in this arena of people that don't accept you, okay, you can't give what I, and I'm going to understand that you're human, but you can't love like I love or whatever it is, and I'm not putting you down. I just have to understand that you can't give it because you don't have it to give, and that's okay. And so you learn to let people fall off. You learn to let people go as you keep moving forward with your passion and with the purpose that's in you to help these people that are hurting, because so many people look past bullying. So hopefully I've shared something that will help you, because I understand what it's like to be in that position. I really, really do. So talk about your movement then, if you knew me. Like we just talked about all these different arenas that you've been in, speaking and all of that. Tell me about If You Knew Me, your movement, what it is, okay, and then we know about your passion, but what it is, and just talk to us about that. Because I left some things out of your bio. And let me just say for the listeners, I left a lot of things out of Christian's bio because Christian is busy. And so I would have still been reading her bio. I had to leave some things out because I want her to be able to talk about these things. So talk to us about If You Knew Me, and like I said, what it is, and just share what you want to share about that movement.
Well, If You Knew Me started when I graduated high school. It started out as an anti-bullying campaign. However, as I started to move forward with it, I feel like it became more of a anti-bullying / self-esteem campaign.
Okay.
Basically, I started If You Knew Me because, like I said to you when I had talked to you before, I kind of felt like growing up, you know, I had a support system where if I couldn't go to my mom, I could go to somebody else. If I couldn't go to my uncle, I could go to a friend, a family friend. And some people don't have that support system. So I created If You Knew Me as a way for people to share stuff that about themselves that, you know, in general conversation, or if you just see somebody, you're not going to ask, you're not going to share your life story, or you're not going to tell someone that's bullying you, you know, you guys might have something in common. So that's where I started If You Know Me, because I felt like it was more of a conversation starter between people so we can start to get to know each other better.
Oh, that is so good. I absolutely love that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just to kind of piggyback off of that. Yeah, so it starts with a conversation with, if you don't ask a question to somebody, what would you really know about them just by looking at them? And I myself had gone through cancer. And even though people may look at me and see certain pictures of me, you would never know that I'm a 10-year cancer survivor. So if you meet me, you would know. And that's how it's basically to share something. It could be anything. That's something that people wouldn't know about you if they didn't take the time to ask you.
Oh, that's so good. And praise God. Congratulations. All of that good stuff on 10 years. Oh, my goodness. Woo! That is, oh, my goodness. That is phenomenal. Thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad you shared that, Michelle. Oh, my goodness. And that's powerful even to go into your daughter's campaign. So If You Knew Me is a conversation starter. I remember I looked in your bio, and I'll let you expound on this as well. I looked in your bio and saw that you, when you would talk to the people that were bullying you, Christian, you actually found out that, you know, some of them didn't want to be bullied themselves, or, you know, you found out that you had some things in common with them, or what have you. When it comes to the bullying and the conversation and you going into these different arenas and speaking, is this something that you encourage, you know, the teens to do or kids to do? And what do you tell them? How does a kid start a conversation with their bully? Is there anything that you...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you can go ahead.
Basically, I kind of tell people to just be open to talk. That's where it first starts. Mm-hmm. How you start a conversation. Hi, you know, what is something that you like? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, when, as I got older, and, I mean, when I was younger, I wasn't able to do this. I was afraid. But as I got older, I would just build up some courage and say, you know what, let me go say hi to them. Maybe somebody didn't really with them, you know, oftentimes, like, I find with people that are bullies, you know, people are so afraid to even have a conversation with them, you know, and it's like, when you start a conversation with them, you start to figure out, like I said in my bio, you start to figure out, like, wow, we have something in common. There's a girl in particular, I had a conversation with her and was like, okay, we like the same show, you know, and then we started going more into conversation. Oh, okay, so this is your favorite color too, and all right, so I'll talk to you tomorrow, and then it comes a day-to-day thing, and, you know, you start, and then that's when it starts to grow. So basically what I just said, you have to start to build up the courage to even say hi, you know, say your name. Actually let your bully know who you are instead of just somebody, a victim.
Oh, that's
I will say, I remember when Christian was first bullied, that she was in pre-K, and this little girl would bully her every day to the point, I think one day, you know, and as a parent, you're like, if she hit you, hit her back. But Christian will not hit back. She's too busy of getting hit in the face or something, and I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I think one day the girl bit her, and I'm like, okay, that's it. Because, you know, you want to try to leave it on a school level, let the school do it. And I went up to the school, and I talked to the little girl. And her reasoning for bullying Christian, because she didn't have her mother in her life. And because I was always there with Christian, she wanted a mother like Christian had, and that was her reasoning for bullying Christian.
Wow.
So that goes into the whole, if you knew me again, if people just take the time and understand why, then, you know, some people are just going to be bullies. It is what it is. But sometimes, you know, if you could just understand why, that can start a whole new conversation.
Right.
Oh, Michelle, that is so, so good. And thank you for sharing that. That's really powerful, because to have that conversation with that child and see that the child really had a jealousy or something that they, you know, that she wanted, that's something I talked to my daughter about so much because she's had to deal with the bullying. And I you know, mentioned to my listeners or people that follow the Smart Hour that would share the testimony or, you know, share the experience of my daughter having to go through that. I actually, you know, same thing. I tried to leave it on the kid level too. She and this little girl were friends, and so the little girl got upset about something. My daughter's just going to middle school, so this is like a totally new experience for her. But I tried to let them deal with it, and then I reached out to the mom. You know, since we live by each other, I'm like, okay, both our kids need to ride the bus. I know you're working. I'm busy. We don't want somebody suspended from the bus, so let's just go ahead and have them meet. I was supposed to meet with her. She never showed up, never called or anything. She was supposed to bring her daughter over so they could both talk about it, because I believe communication is key. So she never showed up, never said anything. She sent her daughter to say, oh, well, we're still going to be friends, you know, so let's just squash this. However, this is what the daughter came outside and said, instead of the mom coming to handle the situation. So even though the daughter said that, she still went, got on the bus and would say things and do things and taunt her. So I went to the school, talked to them about it, you know, got them involved. He pretty much told me, you know, what happens at school we can handle. What happens when they get off the bus, you know, it's in another arena. So I ended up having to get the police involved. And wow. I did that, and I'm saying that for listeners, because when it comes to when you're paying attention, like I said, I fumbled the ball, for lack of better terms, or at least for so long I felt that I did with my son. You know, and he's older now, and he encourages her. You know, it's, you want to tell, you know, you want to let, you know, somebody know what's going on. But with this situation with my daughter, I was determined I'm not going to be in the same position where I see her behavior changing. You know, she would come home and be depressed, didn't want to go to the bus stop, all these different things. I'm like, no. When children are at school, most of their waking moments, when it comes to bullying, it's something that we need to take more seriously, because as I mentioned, it's like kids are in the position of being in the arms or in the hands of their oppressors. So if they're at school for 8 hours, they come home, they eat, they do their homework, they go to bed. It's not a lot of time of being up at home. So most of the day, most of the time that they're awake, they are being tortured, and people need to pay attention to it. And now we have, you know, even the cyberbullying that's involved. But I ended up calling the police, you know, getting the police involved. I said, I just want to file a police report because this is what happened. I tried to start at the level of just talking to the mom, and then when I didn't get, you know, it continued, then I went to the school. And when he told me, okay, I can't do so much, then I'm going to the cops, because this is going to stop. She's not going to be tortured. So whatever has to be done, then this is what we're going to do. So when I got the cops involved, of course, you know, the kid is like, I didn't mean to do, you know, now you see how serious it is. It is that serious, right? Because my daughter's not going to go to school and feel like she's afraid to go to school and come home and be depressed. No. And so for any of our listeners that are parents, don't be afraid to push the envelope all the way. Even if your kid is like, no, because my daughter's like, well, mom, I don't understand, like, why we have to do this? Why can't we let the, you know, the principal handle it? Why does it have to be the cops? I said, well, calling the cops is just like bringing the principal in outside of the school. So it's just like, you know, calling the principal, but we're doing it outside of the school. And so there, things have to be done decently and in order so that you can get results. Now, if I were to go the route of just, okay, let's just be ghetto Quisha and let me just go ahead and fight this lady or deal with it that way, right, that would be bad, because then your mom would be locked up. Oh, okay. You know, so she wasn't feeling, you know, having to go to that extreme. But now for her to come home, I had a great day. That's what I want. Because you have to it's my job to cover you, and you have to be at peace when you're going to school. Kids' grades are affected. So many things happen when they have to deal with this fear in the bottom of their stomach, or this fear of having to go to school. And so I have such a passion about this, because I believe as adults we have to be an advocate for our children and say what they cannot say or what they're not willing to say. So, man, thanks so much, Michelle, for sharing that experience. That's phenomenal, you know, just that you even went that route to talk to the little girl, because that, I mean, that's needed. That is definitely needed. So when it comes to parents, Michelle, I mean, I know you mentioned that you found out some things about your daughter, you know, with her being the co-author, but what advice would you give to a parent, having walked through that, you know, what advice would you give to a parent that may want to, may not even be privy to what's going on? Would you tell them, you know, go search their rooms or pay attention? What would you tell a parent?
Oh, yeah, I'm down
could
for
be
all
in
of that.
Of their child being bullied.
I'm down for all of that. Search the room, phone, all of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you just got to be involved. You know, especially when Christian got into high school, I heard a lot, especially from administrators, like, you know, they're in high school now. You know, they have to be mature. And that's true. But I'm still her parent. You know, I was told, Christian, at the end of the day, we're like a marriage. This is until death do us part. So,
my goodness.
Or even like on the school level, they kind of like wanted to separate us. And had I not continued to be involved in the programs that she was in, being, you know, be very, you know, involved with the teachers of what was going on with her school, you just got to continue to do that. You just have to, as much as they may X you out, the schools may X you out because they may call you a helicopter parent, but even, because at the same time, even with all my involvement, I still miss stuff, but at the same time, with all that I did, I could have missed so much more. So I don't regret, I don't regret what, how I was as a parent and still how I am now as a parent, because I always told Christian, my voice is just one. And when you step out of this house, you're amongst millions. And that's going to talk to you, put stuff in your head. You need to always try to remember my voice and what I'm trying to tell you. And sometimes that's hard to do. So you just got to continue to have conversation, be straightforward, don't be around the bush with certain things. Some things I'll try to see if she can handle on her own, but some things I would give like a little time limit, because sometimes a kid or a young adult, whatever, can go so far down the rabbit hole that you will take forever trying to get them out. So just try to be vigilant in what's going on. And don't beat up yourself, because when I read some stuff, it was kind of like, for a second, I did kind of beat up myself, because I'm like, where was I? I was at every game. I was at every, you know, school thing. I was here. When you came home from school, I cooked dinner. And to know I still missed something, for a second, I was kind of like, what was I doing for that second that I did miss it? But I can't do everything, and I can't be everything. Parents need to also forgive themselves for little things that you have missed, but, you know, just learn from it as well and try to be do different.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So you're saying to be involved. Even if it means they call you a helicopter parent.
That's
so be me. Like, okay, Miss Smart. Hi, Miss Smart. Yes, it is me again. Thank you. Because you're right. It's like when the school, we give them, you know, the liberty, or I guess I should say we trust them with their children. You know, we send them there, and they're, oh, my goodness, that was so good. You said to remember your voice, because there are so many voices in the land, so many things. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody's trying to push an agenda. That is so powerful. I'm taking that, and I'm a sit my kids out. Remember my voice. That is so powerful, though. That's very, very powerful. So you're saying, you know, that as parents we need to just be more involved and attentive when it comes to that, and don't beat ourselves up when we're not just the, you know, Cleaver, which some people might not know who I'm talking. Leave it to Beaver and them. Like, I know I'm aging myself. Like that parent that has it all together. That is so, so good. Thanks for sharing that, Michelle. And to you, Christian, what would you say to, you know, children of any age? Because it could be any age. What would you say to children as far as sharing? Because some kids feel that they're not supposed to tell. And my daughter only told me because I've drilled that into her. You tell me if somebody's on XYZ, you know, not in a frightening way, but just to let her know, I got your back. When you can't deal with a thing, I'm your advocate so that we can get results. So what would you say to a child that may not want to tell, you know? And a lot of parents go through that because they, you know, open up a closet and see that their child has committed suicide. You know, what would you say to a child or a teen or whoever to let them know it's okay to tell somebody?
I mean, I would say, like, as far as having them tell somebody, if you don't feel comfortable telling your parents, tell, at least voice it to a friend, a family friend, a relative. Mm-hmm. I'm very close with my uncle, you know, even though he has learned some new things, you know, now I kind of feel more, a little bit more open to share things with him before, you know, I run it past my mom sometimes. And that's just because mm-hmm. we're a little closer in age. We, you know, I'm able to say certain things and he won't look at me sideways. But with that, if you feel like you can't talk to anyone, what somebody told me was, actually, somebody told me this in the doctor's office one time. If I feel like just the emotions and everything is getting a hold of me and I can't voice what I need to say or tell somebody, write it down. Mm-hmm. Write a letter. Hand it to your mom.
Yeah.
Hand it to somebody. Yeah. You know, go to a counselor and hand it to them. Sit there. Sometimes when I go to the counselor's office, sometimes I just sit there. The counselor will look at me all day, and I will just sit there. They'll ask questions. Sometimes you need somebody to get it out of you.
Yeah.
Because it might be hard to just come and say it, you know. So I would either say speak to someone that's close to you, write a letter, or, you know, just be open to just sit down and have somebody else do all the talking.
And
yeah.
To piggyback on that, now that Christian had mentioned that, another, like she said, with writing the letter, what parents and kids can do if you can't really feel it, you can't communicate at that point, like she said, get a book, write it down, leave it in a place that the parent knows, get it to read it. And then the parent, once you calm down, write back to the child, leave the book there so the child can read it back. And hopefully that will open up the dialogue. So then you and your child can have a face-to-face conversation.
Oh, that is so good. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. That is so good. I think it's great, and it is good to have somebody to talk to. I love that book thing. I'm going to have to post that in social media just as an idea or for people to do, you know, to be able to open up that dialogue and to talk. And you, Christian, talking about having somebody to talk to. I want to say to our listeners, for anybody that is listening in or any children, if you know somebody that's being bullied, don't be afraid to report it anonymously, you know, to report it to, you know, the principal or whoever. My daughter has done that. Or even as parents, listen to your children and how their day went and what happens. My daughter has told me, yeah, so-and-so's being bullied at school. I have contacted the school. Look, this is an anonymous report. I mean, that's just how passionate I am about it. This little kid is being bullied by this kid. You may want to look into this, you know, pull them in, because you just never know what life you may save. You don't know, you know, what peace you could give a child, you know, in doing something like that. And then there's also the bullying hotline that's on the stopbullying.gov website. There is also a hotline. It's 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255. You can actually call that number and, you know, talk about what's going on with you as far as bullying. I know that we have so many different arenas of bullying, especially from when I was coming up. There's now the cyberbullying, you know, where people can get on social media and say certain things about you or whatever. My son personally, and I know this is, you know, almost a thing that people feel like they can't live without, but my son is 18 and he doesn't have an Instagram and he doesn't have a Facebook, just because he would prefer not to. Now, he likes to look at some of the other stuff like Worldstar, and he has a Snapchat and all that other stuff, so he is plugged in some other ways. But there's certain social media sites that he just doesn't have. That doesn't mean that somebody couldn't be on talking about, you know, another child. But sometimes it's best to even pull away from that and just know that it's okay. You will survive without an Instagram account, you know, because when it comes to the cyberbullying, once that stuff is out there, it can have an effect on you. But don't be afraid to tell somebody, because I don't care what it is. When it comes to something like this, there is a plan. There is a remedy to stop it. You just got to be willing to drive that thing all the way in until you get the results that you want. And don't ever feel that you're alone, because there's somebody that you can talk to. Now, I again, Christian, I thank you for sharing, both of you, for sharing your stories and talking about these things. I will say, you know, like I mentioned before, my daughter didn't want to tell anything, and then the little girl that was bullying her, after the cops went to her house, she came out saying that they were going to send her to some, you know, military school or something like that. So my daughter was like, oh, I did this and blah. I said, no, you didn't. I said, when people do things that they are not supposed to do, they're supposed to get in trouble. Now, that could be something that, you know, her parents are just telling her, but don't take the weight on yourself because you didn't want to, you know, didn't want her to get in trouble. I said, you would rather go through this process now than to have to go through the whole year of somebody bullying you. And so she had to, you know, she felt better when it came to that, because we have to bring things down to reality. So one last thing I want to talk about before I let you guys go, because sometimes parents can be bullies. And it really, you know, it's a twist. I'll say, you know, my daughter went, I don't let my children, I don't let them sleep over at people's houses. Like, I just don't. So, but my daughter wanted to go to the sleepover just this past weekend. And she was like, oh, can I please go? And she was a little reluctant to go. But I you know, after a while, she's like, well, maybe I just want, because she's a mommy's girl. But I let her go. Long story short, she told me when she came home, they all went out to dinner. It was like maybe six little girls and then, you know, the girl that was having the sleepover, her mom and dad. So they went out to dinner. And as they were at dinner, this is my daughter telling me this after she got home. As they were at dinner, she was like, yeah, she said, just say the little girl's name is Sarah, for, you know. So Sarah's dad, you know, was roasting us at the table. And I'm like, roasting you all? So that's, you know, another word for ripping on or whatever on people.
Right.
I'm like, yeah. Okay, roasting y'all, like, what do you mean? Well, he said this and he said that, and, you know, one of her friends was laughing. She said, but Mom, he did say something that kind of hurt my feelings. And she was like, and I told him, you know what, I'm not going to say anything because I'm a kid and I have to stay in the kid's place. This is what she told the grown-up, the girl's dad. I'm not going to say anything because I know I'm supposed to be quiet. I'm a kid and I'm going to stay in the kid's place. So the dad came back and said, that's the first time, that's the smartest thing you said tonight. Do you know I was livid outside of my brain. I was like, everything was boiling on me, because I felt like, you, first of all, you should not be quote unquote roasting children simply because it may be a kid thing, you know, it may be a joking thing amongst kids, but you are an adult with the power to speak life into a child. You don't speak anything negative to a child. If from kid to kid, you know, bouncing words back and forth, things can be effective. How would you be a parent and feel that you cannot bully a child or speak something into a child that will impact them the rest of their lives? So it's, I want to talk about that, and if you guys have ever encountered anything like that, or what are your thoughts, even Michelle, what are your thoughts on parents being bullies? Because we can be, like I shared at the top of the show, you know, my mom calling me this narrow A, you know, and she would say it when she would be mad, or, you know, if I did something that didn't please her, but those were words that planted seeds that shaped the way I saw myself. You know, teachers can be bullies. It's so many adults that can bully kids, and we want to touch on that as well for anybody that may be listening. So what are your thoughts on that, Michelle?
I mean, I think as parents, we too have to understand that our words can hurt, and sometimes we think because we're the adults that we know better, and you do what I say type of thing, and, you know, there's no book to parenting. My family is West Indian, so there was a couple of things that we would hear growing up, you know, being part of the culture, but at the same time, could still hurt. So we just got to be more aware of what we say and how our words can affect, and not be afraid to apologize for some of the things that we may say. Understand that you are a parent and not your friend. And like I always would tell Christian, I'm never your friend. I will always be your mother, because God forbid if something happens, it's your mother you're going to call, not your friend. So we just as parents got to understand and stop thinking that because we're parents, we can do no wrong. We, you know, we're still learning as well as these kids that we're trying to teach. So we just have to have that understanding and know that once, you know, we calm down, as I always say, if we calm down, we can say, I'm sorry. And let's talk, discuss what this situation is. you know, before I could get, you know, any work. And I'm learning that as well, because sometimes you can't just say things because you could be so mad at that moment, but you really don't mean it. Or you, like you said, with your situation, say as a joke and not know how it may really affect that child when that child is by themselves. Mm-hmm. So,
yes.
You know.
Oh, my goodness. Girl, that is good. Y'all have preached the house down here. That's good though, because I have had to do that, Michelle. I've had to go back to both of my children. You know what? I didn't come at you right with that. You know, let me apologize. And I'm transparent enough. You know, of course I'll let them know. I am the parent. You know, so we're not gonna. You know. Omit that part, but I do want you to understand that there are some things that I'm still learning, and I don't have a problem with letting my children know that, because the reason why, Michelle, is because I can look back at when I was a kid and some of the things that people did to me that just weren't right, or some of the things that people said to me that weren't right, you know. And if somebody had been, you know, humble enough and real enough and transparent enough to come and say, you know what, my nickname is Nene, so come to me and say, you know what, Nene, what I said wasn't right, or the way I handled that situation, the way I talked to you, or calling you this, or even years down the line, because I had my BC, my before Christ period, you know, where I was just a hot mess on every inch of me, you know. Thank God for the work he has done and is doing. You know, I'm a little bit more tolerable, but when it comes to the mistakes, I know that I'm still full of flaws, you know, and so I've had to go to my kids and tell them, even after the, you know what, I didn't deal with that situation right. Or even be real with them and say, you know what, I got a lot of things on my mind right now. Just give me a minute. You know, that way it's not a big lashing out. Someone just shared with me on yesterday. They were talking. I was having this conversation with this young man, and he was talking about his grandfather, because nobody likes to be around the grandfather. Like the whole family. Yeah. I'm like, Lord. Yeah. But they all talk about the grandfather and, you know, how he is. And I've had the opportunity to experience him and see why people feel that way. But on the same token, you begin to look at it from the flip side. Why is he this way? And so the young man was sharing with me that his granddad told him that when they were little, that him and his brothers, the granddad and the brother and sister, like the way that they would find out if their mom was having a good day is one of them would go into the room, and if they didn't get popped or cussed out or something like that, they would know that she was having a good day and it was okay. And that like broke my heart, because that goes into, again, the bullying aspect. We could be going through so much as adults, and we forget that we're dealing with little people and we're shaping and molding their perspectives whether we want to or not. So now it's like the whole family can't stand the granddad, but a lot of that is probably rooted and seated in what he went through as a child, you know, and the way that he was treated and the way that he, you know, how they had to interact and the communication that his mom, you know, sent to him, just in, you know, okay, if I'm having a good day, good. If I'm not, somebody's getting popped for no reason, you know. So that's all just, again, piggybacking off what you said, Michelle, about, you know, just really not treating a child as if, okay, I'm all the time, as if I'm the adult and you do what I say. Just to really embrace the fact that, okay, I'm an adult, but I'm also human and I make mistakes too. And let me just come back to you and apologize, you know, and just, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're going to rise up and take over the household and have me, you know, tied to the bed or something and can't get out and won't feed me. You know, you're not going to take over the house just because I'm humble enough or transparent enough to tell you that I'm your mom, but I don't always get it right. So I need you to forgive me. And that's going to help them, I believe, to be better parents even. So I am so, again, honored that you ladies have come by the Smart Hour and just shared your testimonies and shared what's on your heart. Christian, why don't you tell people, because you're doing all this speaking and have all this stuff going on, girl, and we're embracing that Christian is a leader, so we understand that Christian is not going to fit in everywhere, okay, because she is a leader. She done ran all the way through high school and college. Like, who does that? 18 years old in your third year of college? What? Girl, that's amazing. So we've embraced that Christian is this phenomenal leader who has amazing purpose on her life. How can people reach you? How can people get in contact with you? Social media, email, whatever you want to share.
On Instagram, my Instagram name is at If You Knew Me, and on Facebook, it's If You Knew Me, Face Stop Bullying. And that's where you can mostly contact me if you want to just talk, if you want to talk about events, or just, you know, you want to introduce yourself. That's the way you can reach me.
Nice, nice, nice. And Michelle, is there any social media handle or anything that you want to share so that people can reach out to you? Because you have dropped some nuggets, honey. Is there anything that you want to share?
I have no social media, but you can contact if you have any email or Instagram or whatever, and Christian will pass it along. I do not do social media.
Okay, okay, that works. And then before we get out of here, Christian, is there anything you want to share with our listeners regarding, be it the people that are being bullied, the people that do the bullying, both, anybody, anything, any last words you want to share?
I just want to share, remember to love yourself, because nobody else is going to love you how you need to be loved. That's what I want to share with everybody.
See, Christian is a leader. She didn't tell everybody, love yourself, you know. So I received that. Thank you so very much. And thanks again, ladies, so much for coming to the Smart Hour. It was an absolute honor. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much for
having
us. No
problem. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much for listening to the Smart Hour. You have been listening to us talking about anti-bullying. Be sure to tune in next week and have a great night, everybody.
You have been listening to the Smart Hour with Tanisha Smart. Real voices, real issues, and real solutions. Be sure to find and follow us on Instagram at The Smart Hour. Like us on Facebook at The Smart Hour. And tune in right here next week for more. You won't want to miss the time The Smart Hour will add to your life.